game we used to play as kids, hide and go seek. Ready or not, here I come. And He's coming after us, those who are ready. Okay? And those who are not are going to leave here too. They're not going to heaven. Okay? They're going to suffer in a place called hell for eternity. And so, here, Elijah told Ahab, hey, it's not going to rain. It's not, there won't even be a dew fall until I say so. Ahab said, oh, you crazy. Go on. Get out of my life. I've been told similar things before by people who are not interested in hearing the truth of the gospel. That don't change the truth, because Ahab didn't believe it. That didn't change it. Still true. Because the people you witness to don't believe that God loves them and that Jesus died for them, that don't change the truth. It's still the fact that God loves all of us. Okay. That hadn't changed. It's not going to change. And so, Elijah told Ahab what was going to happen. Now, it'll be a while before we see the rest of the story, as Paul says, when it finally rains again. But when Elijah did what God had called him to do, he gave that message to Ahab, it's not going to rain. And so God then spoke to Elijah, and he said, okay, now it's not going to rain, so you need to go down to a brook called Cherith, and you need to sit down there by that brook. You can drink from that brook, and then I'm going to send some buzzards to feed you. And yes, the Bible says ravens. If you look up what a raven was, the ravens were vultures, what we call buzzards. And so I'm sure that most of us, if God told us to go down to the creek and sit down there, and He said, I'll feed you. I'll have the buzzards bring you some food every day. I'm sure that would excite us, right? Every one of us would be excited about that. You know, and we'd probably jump up and run to the creek to get that first food that the buzzards are going to bring us. But you know what? When God does it, it's always right. Elijah, we never see where Elijah argued with God. We don't see where Elijah reasoned with God. You know, so many times we want to reason with God. Well, God, that just don't really make sense, you know. I believe that you're telling me to do that, but it's not even humanly possible, God. And we try to reason things and explain things away and try to tell God what He can't do. Instead of just believing that God can do what He says He'll do. And so Elijah didn't argue with God. He went to the brook called Cherith. He sat down by the brook. And he drank the water from the brook. And God sent him food every day by the ravens, the vultures. And Elijah ate. Now I promise you it was good food because God gave it. Okay? And so eventually the water, the creek dried up. And so the water, there's no more water. And so God tells Elijah, okay, I want you to get up and I want you to go to Zarephath. When you get to Zarephath, you'll meet a widow woman. And she's going to feed you. She'll take care of you. And so Elijah believed God. He trusted God. He was committed to God. And so he got up and he went to Zarephath. When he got to Zarephath, he met this widow woman. As a matter of fact, when he first met her, she was out picking up sticks. And Elijah said to her, "Would you bring me a drink of water, please?" And so she said yes, and she went and got him a drink of water. And as she was going, he said, "By the way, would you bring me something to eat too?" And the widow woman said, "Well, I'm sorry, but that's what I'm picking up sticks for. I'm getting ready to cook the very last meal for my son and myself. We got just a little bit of meal left and a little oil, just enough for us to make us one small meal that we will eat, and then we're going to die. We're going to starve to death because we have nothing else to eat." And Elijah said, "That's fine. Bring me something to eat first." You think, man, that sounds selfish, don't it? But he didn't stop there. He said, "You fix me some bread, and then the meal will not run out, and neither will the oil, because God's going to take care of you." Now, how many of us believe that God can do things like that? It's, "Oh yeah, I believe." Well, think about some of those times when you've had some opportunities to trust God. And you've reasoned it out and decided that, "No, I can't do that." You know. I mean, God's called you to do something, a particular responsibility, maybe a particular responsibility in the church. And we reason, "Oh, no. You know, I give you a personal experience, okay? God called me to preach." I understand some of y'all think he made a mistake. I did too. And I argued with him for a long time. I said, "God, I can't preach. I can't even talk to people. I'm too bashful. I was backward bashful. I would literally not speak to you on the street if there were other people around and we were good friends, because I was just that bashful." And I said, "God, I can't preach. I can't do that. You got the wrong number." Does God get the wrong number? He gets some of those numbers a lot of times that won't answer the call. You know, you ever call somebody and they won't answer? They see caller ID, say, "Oh no, I ain't answering him." You know, God gets a lot of those where he calls on us and we say, no, I can't do that. God, I don't even want to talk to you today. You know, but this widow woman had some faith as well. And she put that faith in action. She not only believed when Elijah said, "If you'll bring me a cake first, then God will see to it that the meal never runs out and the oil never runs out." And she believed that. Not only did she believe that, she trusted God to do what he said he would do. And thirdly, she committed herself to be a part of that, to do what God had called her to do. And she went and fixed Elijah some food and took it to him. And did God do what he said he would do? No, they starved to death. They didn't have anything to eat then. No, they didn't. The meal and the oil never ran out. Have you ever witness some of those things? I've been blessed to be able to see some of those things happen. Some of those impossibilities that God has worked through. God is still on the throne. He's still providing miracles every day. And you know what? The reason he don't do more of that? You know why he don't do more of that? Because we don't have enough of those widow women that will trust Him and commit themselves to do what He's called us to do. We don't have enough of those Elijahs to step out on faith and to say, Ahab, you evil king, it's not going to rain or even a dew fall until I say so, because God told me to tell you that. We don't have enough people to do. That's the reason we don't see more of it happen today. God hadn't changed. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. What has changed is the church has gotten so watered down. We've listened to the lies of the devil that has told us that we don't need to be committed to God. God owes us all these things, and we just need to do what we want to do and don't worry about it. And one day, we're all going to go to heaven. I had a person just this week who heard about my brother-in-law, Ron, passing away. He didn't know Ron from Adam. But he said, well, there's one thing for sure. He's a whole lot better off now because, you know, when we leave here, we're all going to be in a better place. I'm sorry. That is not true. That lie's been told so many times, but it is absolutely not true. We're not all going to heaven. I would like to think all of us are going. But all people are not going to heaven. Jesus talks about a couple of different roads. He said there's one road, a wide gate. There's a whole bunch of people on that road. It's popular. And it leads to destruction. It leads to a place called hell. And then there's another road that's narrow, it's straight. There's only a few on it. It's not crowded. You don't have to worry about, if you don't like crowds, that's the road to get in. Okay? If you don't like being in crowds, you need to get on that straight and narrow path because it's not crowded. There ain't a whole lot of people on it. That's the one that leads to life eternal. That's the one that leads to heaven. Okay? And so, we see Elijah, a man of faith, doing what God called him to do, and God honored his faithfulness. Can I tell you today that God still honors faithfulness? If you'll put your faith and your trust in God, if you'll not only believe Him, if you'll trust Him, if you'll commit your life to Him, begin to live for Him, He will bless you in ways that you cannot even imagine. How can we do that? What's something practical we can do? Well, first of all, we can start spending time in His Word and then start obeying His Word, you know. We can start coming together. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You know, we need to come together. We need to come together in fellowship with one another. We need to come together and study together. We need to come together and pray together. We need to share our griefs. We need to share our joys. He says we need to weep together. We need to rejoice together. We need that strength that comes from other believers to encourage us when we're in our times of discouragement. Because we're going to be in a time of discouragement. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you're going to go through some valleys. And it's those valleys that's what's going to help us. Not just those mountaintop experiences. The valleys where you really get strengthened. That's where you gain strength, spiritual strength, to be able to get through that next valley. Because we're going to go through some valleys. We're going to go through some hard times. Elijah, I'm sure, went through some hard times. That widow woman was going through some hard times. But God blessed her because she was obedient. God will bless you when you're obedient. Some of you, God's dealt with your hearts about doing something in the church, you know, helping out somewhere. Just, and you've done like me, you know, God, I can't do that. Well, first of all, He's not looking. He was not looking for my ability. If He had been, He'd have never even thought about my number. Because I didn't have it. He's not looking for the equipped. He will equip the called. He'll call you and He'll give you what you need if you'll just surrender to Him and allow Him to have His will and way in your life. There are things that we need to do as a church. They're not going to happen until the church as a whole comes together in faith. Got to step out on faith. You know, too many times, too many churches walk by sight, not by faith. Don't start a new program. We don't start a new building. We don't do anything until all the resources are there. Until we got all the people we need to teach the class, to do this or that, or all the money we need for the building. It needs to be whatever it might be. We got to have it all. All the resources got to be there before we're going to get started. Where's the faith? Where's the faith? That's the problem. A lot of the problem today is the church that should be setting the example so that the world can see that the God we serve not only is able, but He will do what He said He would do because we don't give Him an opportunity to do it. God wants to bless you. He'd love to bless you, and He will, if you'll be obedient, if you'll trust Him, if you'll commit your life to Him, begin to serve Him, be faithful to Him and what He's called you to do. What about it today? What's your relationship? What have you done lately that God's called you to do? How involved are you in His work? Not just in the church. How many people have you witnessed to this week? Talk to about their salvation. Maybe even invited them to church. I'm not looking for answers. I want you to think about it. And see where you stand in your relationship with Christ. Father, we love You. God, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful because I know that You absolutely will do everything that You have promised us that You will do. God, it breaks my heart to see the condition of the church as a whole today and the lack of interest in people who are the professing Christians. Lord, I pray for revival. I pray for a stirring. And God, I understand that a lot of times it takes something really difficult to wake us up. But God, we need waking up. Whatever it takes. Because we are watching the world go by. And we're missing out on a lot of opportunities. The church is, as a whole, missing out on a lot of opportunities to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with a lost, dying, and hurting people. Lord, stir our hearts. Convict us. Lord, help us to be more committed. Lord, help us to have a greater realization of what Jesus has done for us as He suffered and died for us. And Lord, help us to be about Your business, walking by faith, not by sight. Lord, there are needs here today, and You know what those needs are. I pray for people right now. Lord, as we move into the time of invitation, that, Lord, that people would respond to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's someone here that's never trusted You to be Savior, allowed You to come, Lord, their lives, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for that person. Lord, if there's one that's been running from a call, not willing to do what You've called them to do, I pray that as the Holy Spirit deals with them, that they will surrender to do what You've called them to do. Lord, have Your will and Your way, we pray. In Jesus' name and for His sake, we pray. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. Music is playing. Music says, "Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." You can't clean yourself up. You can't get good enough. You just got to come just like you are. Say, "Lord, here I am. I want to do what You've called me to do." Is there anyone, has God spoken to anybody this morning? Maybe you've never trusted Jesus to be your Savior. It's not too late right now, but it may be too late in a few minutes. Maybe God's calling you to do something specific in His work. Anyone? God's spoken to anybody?